evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome to Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme, VOB 92.9 FM. And I must confess now, peoples, I have so much giveaways over these past 4 or 5 weeks. So many giveaways, but oftentimes the discussion is so hot and heated and interesting that, forget about the giveaways. But before we start the show, I must say thank you to Pawn Brokers International right there in Black Rock. We have AirPods, wireless Bluetooth AirPods to give away. I must say thank you to Lucy's Kitchen. We got food vouchers given away for food. I must say thank you to Unique Cooking. We have cakes and cupcakes and all different and juices and all that given away this evening. So I must say thank you to all of them. And I'm going to make it hard and not doing anything special, Ronnie. Just giving them away to anyone. We're giving away those prices. I'll let you know when. Pawn Brokers International, we have some wireless AirPods. We have some cakes and cupcakes from Unique Cooking. And they have some food from Lucy's Kitchen. Have so much giveaways. Have lunch specials also from the cook shop. And I will let you know when we will be doing that. But I must say thank you to all those. Also, thank you for all the wonderful messages I'm receiving weekly. It really, really pleases my heart, blessing my heart to see so much people supporting the show, and the love is real. I want to thank these two good brothers, first things first, for coming on the show. I want to thank these brothers for agreeing to sit down and talk with myself. And today we are going to go in for sure. We're going to go in. So just want to say a good evening to Carlos Moore, and good evening. Good evening, Carlos.
Good evening.
Yeah, before we start, how is everything? Before we start with the show, before we deal with art and culture, before we deal with the youth, I want to find out, how are you doing, my brother?
Yeah, I'm doing well, thanks. Biden, I'm good.
But that's good to hear. You have to ask these days, bro, because 2021 is being so different. 2021 being so different that, you know, we normally ask those questions out of just a customary. You know, be just accustomed to doing it by habit, but This year has taught me that you really, really got to answer and really mean it. So I'm glad to hear that you're good. And everything's okay. We will be getting into deep conversations about the YMCA. People, this is the president of the YMCA, and we'll be having a chat about things that they have going on, programs they have going on. And we also talk about how we can save some of our sons, how we can save some of our young people. We can also talk about support and the support or the lack thereof. So, bro, like, this was a long time we wanted to speak to you, and I must thank Adrian Green for making the link. My brother, I really appreciate this, because you're someone I wanted to have a conversation with already for a very long time, you know, in similar roles. And obviously, I'm watching from afar things that the YMCA will be doing and the projects the YMCA will be doing, and relentlessly so. And you may not know it, or the YMCA may not really know it, but when it comes to being a staple in our communities, you all don't only represent where you're located. The YMCA is everywhere. I mean, everywhere. You could go in St. Louis, you could go in Christchurch, and the name and the brand and the good work you do is everywhere. And it's something, obviously, that I aspire to, for everybody, you know, it's work with the youth. And I'd be unapologetic when they say one thing I really care about is the children, is the young people. And because I realized a long time ago that we had nobody worth of them, because I inherit things that people hand down to me. And they didn't think it was fair how things was handed down to me. They don't think it was fair how things were dealt with. And they don't think it was fair that when I was young, Carlos, I just get handed these things. It's like, this is not fair. Like, you just give me a hellhole and I must accept it. So then that's when I decided, no, you know what I mean? Change your life, try to help out the young people, because it won't be fair to give them. So we can have a deep conversation, bro, about what you do. And then the next brethren, George, this could probably be one of the biggest murals that I've seen. George Gill. Excellent artist, and they take it, Carlos. You had something to do with that mural. I don't want to blame you, but
all is George creative mind.
I don't mean the creation. I mean, whose idea was it to put it there?
Well, actually, you know, a little bit of collaboration between myself and George going back. What?
Yeah, thank you for the invite, Sluggy.
Yeah,
no, I'll probably get to you, nobody. No. I do my introductions.
Go ahead,
Carlos.
No, so I was just saying that you know, George and I talked about this going back to what, October, November last year. You know, it was kind of the middle of lockdown. First year dealing with COVID. Imagine I saying first year dealing with COVID, right? First year dealing with COVID.
Believe it, bro. Like, go ahead, yeah, bro. Lord.
And you know, so George and I were just talking about, you know, what can we do to, you know, inspire, beautify the space, etc. You know, and the idea was, you know, well, we have the facilities here at the YMCA. And everyone, as you mentioned before, it's not just about, you know, those persons who live in Bridgetown or, you know, the immediate surroundings of Bridgetown, but island-wide, everyone is somewhat familiar with the YMCA in some way, shape, or form, whether it be ballroom, whether it be basketball, cricket, you know, going back, billiards, you know, going back decades. I mean, the YMCA has been in Barbados in existence for 141 years, so there ain't nothing to sneeze at. So, you know, for each year, you know, there are hundreds, if not thousands of memories. So we just felt like we needed to kind of inject some life into the physical space. And out of that came the concept of the Safe Space Initiative, not to be confused with the Safe Zone Initiative. Little note for all the entrepreneurs out there, speed to market is important for your branding. But the Safe Space Initiative would have come out of the, you know, initial conversations. You know, we have a general secretary on board who is a real bundle of energy and enthusiasm, and has helped us to really, you know, realize this vision that we had all those months ago.
That's wonderful. And I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, Beijing Rhythm and Rhyme family, introducing Mr. George Gill. He's an artist. And when I say artist, I mean artist and not artiste, as we often confuse on here. But he's an artist, and it got to be one of the biggest murals ever in BIM. I don't know if it is the biggest, but for sure, you know, it had to be one of the biggest. And George, good evening to you, my brother. Wonderful, wonderful work. It always pleases my heart and bless my heart when I see people step out in the creative realm and create things that are larger than life and not just singers or musicians or actors who get all the spotlight usually. I love to see you in person like yourself, because somehow interject culture and art, you know what I mean? And creativity and life, all that together, and put it someplace where everyone could see. Like, I know it's nothing to sneeze at. I know, obviously, the weeks and the months or the
three and a half months in totality, like, of work, actually.
Like, real, 3.5 months, bro?
Three and a half months going from, and that's just the painting, as Carlos would have pointed out. We had that meeting, Carlos, actually last year, October.
Yeah.
But with all the back and forth that was COVID and the, you know, the little piece of lockdown we had like in January and stuff, you know, it's just picking the right time to go. So we started July 23rd. I know we have said officially 24th. That's when we showed up with the volunteers, with the first two volunteers. And what was great about that is that the number of volunteers increased over time. And it became a really lovely atmosphere. It became a whole vibe, as I would have talked about it. I tried, you know, my best, as Carlos said, the marketing. So we just tried to raise the awareness. More importantly for us was the idea of, you know, creating that safe space, as the name would imply, a situation where you have an infrastructure with great history in the middle of town. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what else you gonna do with it? But, you know, but throw some paint on the walls and make something of it that will, and Carlos can attest to this, one of the things I told him is, you know, let's build it and they will come. The idea of a safe space, to my mind, is one that, you know, it you know, brings out the youthfulness in all of us, or, you know, it returns us some, or in some cases, as you would have worked with young people and stuff, allows young people to be young people again and enjoy, you know, brightness and color and lightness of spirit and mood. So I really thought it was a wonderful opportunity for all of us involved, because, you know, living life is not, you know, just transactional. Like, you do something for me, I do something for you and stuff. It's about the relationship that, you know, we grew up over time together, and we grow together.
Oh, I love that. I love that. When you said living life, I love that, Carlos. When you said living life is not just transactional. Listen, yeah. Boy, I remember it was going on 3 weeks now, but Ronnie had thrown out a challenge. Because, you know, traditionally, me in my brain, I'm not a genius like Mr. Clark, but when I think, I was thinking beating rhythm and rhyme, I just thinking music. And then Ronnie was saying, we need to speak to engineers, we need to speak to artists, people that paint and people that sculpt and people that drawing. We need to speak to sports people. Because he, when he was thinking beating rhythm and rhyme, he was thinking deeper than just music. And then he threw in my head somewhere else. Carlos and George, he threw my head for a loop. And I'm so glad that he did it and challenged me that way, loving so much. He helped me a lot on radio, because speaking to different people in fields that are nothing to do with yours, you realize the similarities still. You realize that
art. But that's truly, the point, right?
Yeah, B, that is the point. George, that you realize that wait. He's studying how can he better the youth. He's studying a safe space. He's studying, presenting something that can at least make people feel better. He said, wait, that's the reason they do radio, and that's the reason they do music, though.
That's right. And
that's the only reason I told people this in private, and they say this in public. That's the only reason I'm on radio. That's the only reason I do music.
That's a blessed thing.
Youth only, and it makes no apologies about it. The youth is all they care about. And they can hear you say, well, those are some of the reasons for you. Also, you're singing. You're not playing music. You are actually creating art, but studying the same things. Go ahead, buddy.
I was just gonna say.
George is a man of many talents. So don't sell it short. Sure. He's created art, and he's also a musician. He is a man of many talents. Yeah.
He didn't want to tell me both his left and right brain working the same time. Carlos, let me go over your business.
I spoke about youthfulness earlier. I have a youthfulness in somewhere in my soul too that, you know, I speak when I'm spoken to. It's only when asked, do you do so? Well, actually. And I was like, well, what had happened was there was this time and I had a guitar. The lovely part about this show is, in a way, it's all encompassing, because when you think of rhythm and rhyme, I also think of time and time in. Rhythm is the rhythm that we have in our hearts and our beats, is what's driving
coordination. What drives
every living creature, right? So
and you coordination and colors expand. And colors have correct. To coordinate too. So you are correct. Go ahead, buddy. You are correct.
So, you know, Carlos, too, is also hiding a few cards. But, you know, there's going to be the situation that as the YMCA expands, continues to carve out its space that it has done historically for 140 years, but also going forward, that will continue the outreach to offer young people more and more opportunities in which they can expand and explore skill sets that in some cases they didn't even think that they had. One of the beauties with the artwork is that I don't want to call them amateurs, because I think that's almost not the right tone. I believe in the power of words. I love words. Carlos, I'm going to tell you, but English is my second language, so I really appreciate words, language, and vocabulary. So I would like to consider them as enthusiasts, and we had a lot of young, middle, and older enthusiasts, people that had never painted. People that hadn't touched a paintbrush in decades. Like last time they did it with that, you know, when they paint a house. But yet here they were, they came together, and in their great and small, they all helped to come together and create a work of art. You know, you think of a wall, you think of a barrier. You know, there's, you know, those of us of a certain generation remember the Berlin Wall and what that represented for division between East and West. You know, a wall is always a barrier between you and me. If I throw up a wall and we ain't talking, well, I'd be hiding behind that. But here in this case, we were able to transform something as a physical structure that's a 770 something foot long wall into a giant canvas in which people came out over the course of 3.5 months, participated, made new friends, explored skill sets, mm-hmm. and really enjoyed themselves. I mean, I'm talking, you know, there was a, I have a young lady by the name of Gina, a silver fox lady named Gina, and she's
big at Gina, man. Big respects to Gina.
Yeah, from the from the St. Michael Parish Committee, and she came out. She brought her daughter and granddaughter. So I'm not going to tell you her age, but she brought her daughter and granddaughter. So three generations showed up to paint the wall. I mean, that was lovely, and I always thank Carlos.
Three generations.
Three generations, and we had kids as young as 4 years old, as well, you know, as well as our older participants. We had members from the Deaf Heart Project, which is an all-women group from the hearing impaired community. And they came out and consistently, this was a first for them to volunteer in this manner. And I got to learn some sign language. So that was quite a moving experience for me.
Oh, great, boy. That's nice.
And it's also for the other young participants as well. You know, sometimes we talk about young people and the, in a way, the passive stress that they have because they look around and say, like you said earlier, you know, what kind of world that's not going so well that we handing over to them. And they may feel a little bit inundated by this heaviness that, like,
yes,
man, these young people, these old people want me to do this, and they want me to get a degree, and they want me to go to school, and, well, let's get me when the world going to hell in a handbasket. Where, in actuality, they were able to come out, and between all the different ages and ethnicities, we have people from all over the world come out and paint. And we have people from Canada, UK, the usual suspects, and the US, but we also have people from Jordan and Saudi Arabia and Hong Kong. Like, people just popped up. They were like, yeah, we saw this on Instagram and we were looking for some volunteering to do. So it was a really good, fun, and enriching experience to the full extent of the word.
Yes, sweet people. This is George Gill. He's an artist, and Carlos says also an artist with the E. So that's great. No, Mr. Clark, listen to me, Mr. Ronnie Clark. You sent me down such a dark hole, right, Ronnie? Because when you was telling me about getting different persons, you know, who may have similar stories, but interesting stories, I ended up researching art and how important art was in history, Ronnie. And to be honest, before you throw those things to me, bro, like, I wasn't studying it, but churches, parliament buildings, businesses, a lot of them like identify by art. Then they start studying Barbados and Julianne. And when they see the lady on the plastic bag, I automatically think about Julianne still. And his name is not even Julianne no more. But anytime you see an old picture and you see a plastic bag, lady on a plastic bag, whether it's Aunt May's or Julianne, I remember those things before for the art. And then I remember hearing Ronnie and other guys or other old people on this same show and speaking about the YMCA and the rich history with the YMCA. And what I realized, Carlos and George and Ronnie, I know you're a historian, so I'm sure you know many places where the art helps you to identify them first, because I found that from researching. What I realized that art, a lot of the times, is sometimes be the only way for me to really tell what happened at a particular time. Like, they may have times where in the caves, where like in the Egyptian caves, Ronnie, like on the Egyptian, sorry, not caves, on the Egyptian tombs and the walls and so on, where their writing was like art, where they got drawings that like spaceships, drawings that like airplanes, but then when it didn't exist in that time, or drawings of scrolls and books, or drawings of people praying to the sun, or whatever, Ronnie. Then I was down such a dark hole,
it is a rabbit hole, but a dark hole.
Bro.
I guess there's
rabbit hole. That is the term that we use on the internet. So you correct. You are correct. That's the term that is used.
I love what you're saying, because
Mr. Ronnie Clark sent me down that hole. And
this gentleman here.
I don't know, he's a historian, so I was wondering if he did that. Purposely, because it's like you say, it's such a rabbit hole when you're studying art and how art helps you to understand what happened when. So you doing this at the YMCA, we may not understand it now, bro. But like understand when we long gone and painting get do over, painting get touch over, and people seeing that is like, wait, what were these people thinking at the time? Because I understand now from the same rabbit hole, Ronnie, that people study art psychologically as well.
Well, that's the thing. It's a method of just getting information out there. When you think about some of the oldest artworks are dating back, I think, 30, 40,000 years in south of France. And basically, they're known as the cave drawings. That's the ones that they've discovered so far. Obviously, there's some that are older still. And one of the oldest one is where somebody would have taken a reed, a hollowed out tube, like a thin piece of bamboo, and had like something like clay dust that was a red, and they did a print of their hand. That's also, there's a self-realization with art, right? So the same way that music will help you express, and we talk about rhythm and blues, we talk about soul music, or we talk about soca, which is soul calypso, all these music and genres, the expression and the importance of the arts is such that this is how we express ourselves. Before we created alphabets and foreign languages, and you gotta think that there was a time where, you know, I would just, you know, leave a message. Like, in other words, I could leave a message when I was walking through the forest. Imagine you and I walking through the forest, or we're hunter-gatherers, you know, 150,000 years ago. I could take a tree, a sapling of a tree, and bend it around and do a circle with it. So when it would say that this is the way forward. So when you come along and follow me now, the tree bend a certain way, and you know, that could be artistic once it continues to grow. And art is, the beautiful thing about art is that it's kind of like beauty. It's in the eye of the beholder. So everybody's going to derive from it what they need to see. Like a piece of music might move you in a certain way. You might like a song. I might not like a song. You might hear a piece of classical and it does nothing for you. Carlos might hear a piece of classical and he's moved to tears. It might remind him of a day, you know, that's something that relates. So art overall, when you talk about the audio and the visual arts, they're so important to our lives. And being able to bring, in this case with the mural, and bring young people and old and young alike, and people to come to reflect on art and see how much more do we have to express of ourselves, especially as a relatively young nation, where we still have to create. We got lots of lawyers and doctors, we got masons and carpenters, we got nurses, all them sort of things. We got managers and accountants. We need more philosophers. We need more writers. Just the other day, I was reading a piece of poetry from Derek Walcott, who was a Nobel laureate in 92 from our neighbor, our West Indian brothers, St. Lucia. And I was like 3 days old. Yes, the 3 days ago, when I read this particular piece of poetry, that it blew my mind. I'm like, you know, just putting the words together. So here's to the arts and the power that, you know, the safe space will continue to draw people. And as the name as always implies, people feel comfortable there. They make use of the facilities, and it would draw people to what is the spirit or the ethos of the YMCA and help them to go forward in this thing, you know?
Yes. So I think that the YMCA, so in terms of the art being historic and iconic, I mean, you talked about the Julien bag. I mean, the one that popped to mind was Chafet. I mean,
yes,
that was his sponsor. I mean, it says the same logo. If you look at pictures back in the 80s, it's the same logo that we see today.
True.
And if you think about internationally, what Nike's logo is just a swoosh, but you see that swoosh, you know, still, you think Nike, right?
Yeah.
So the idea really is, you know, how can we use something that everyone can relate to? As George mentioned, everybody may not relate to it in the same way. I mean, we were able to draw a diverse group together to create a singular piece of art across that piece of real estate, to be quite frank with you. And to my mind, it really demonstrated the community evolution that we're going through. I mean, as I said before, you know, being there for 141 years, you know, that means the YMCA in Barbados would have seen the last such pandemic that existed on Earth. You know, so we would have been, we the YMCA would have seen a lot, you know, of ups and downs with respect to what is happening in Barbados and the wider world. And, you know, from time to time, obviously, there would have been different groups that would have come together to make sure, number one, that the YMCA was able to contribute to the community, to the society, and then also to take the organization into the future, whatever that future looked like. So being able to attract such a diverse group of artists, and just, you know, as George said, well, he said not amateurs, let's call them enthusiasts, enthusiasts, you know, new to this type of activity. has given them a lasting bond and tie to the YMCA. I mean, you know, as was mentioned, generations, you know, one Gina was able to bring out, you know, her family. But think about it, you know, 10, 20, 30 years from now, you know, that little four-year-old that painted the wall could say to their grandchildren or their children, hey, you know what, I painted this particular part of this wall, you know. So there's always going to be a part of it that is owned by those persons who would have participated. And even if people weren't able to participate in the actual painting and the design of the wall itself, just to be able to come and interact with the wall. I mean, there are a range of different images going throughout Barbadian history. And we are also actually going to be putting a QR code that's going to be helping to explain the different segments of the wall as well. So interactive in the true sense of the word, knowing that the world is now moving into a metaverse space, which is a, you know, maybe a little bit of a different session altogether. But the idea really here is that we, you know, have been able to create something that has not just piqued the interest, but allow people to freely participate in, you know, the development of the YMCA, as well as their own self-development. And this is really just a phase in what we're doing. So the mural is not the end all, you know, our Safe Space initiative has at least two other phases, which would include composting and a community garden. So the idea really, that's another phase. And then another phase is additional beautification. And we have a thrift shop at the YMCA. So we're going to be, say, repurposing, restructuring the thrift shop, as well as making the entire YMCA campus Wi-Fi ready. You know, we're hoping that that last piece in terms of the Wi-Fi readiness of the whole campus would allow for more people to use the facility, you know, for their studies, et cetera. You know, I've seen youngsters using the, the Hainesville Police Outpost. And, you know, that was really inspiring to see them, because we know that people have different situations at home and everyone can't necessarily concentrate and study at home to the level that they would need to. So, you know, if we could provide an alternative for those persons to, you know, come out and find a little corner where they could sit down and, you know, do their online studies, you know, without worry of interruptions or distractions or whatever the case might be, you know, we're happy to do that. So the Safe Space Initiative is, you know, doesn't begin and end with the mural. You know, we do have some additional work to go through in terms of realizing the vision that we have with respect to really making the YMCA a functional safe space where people can feel comfortable coming there and spending, you know, any amount of time and undertaking their particular self-development activities at the YMCA.
Nice. That is brilliant. That is brilliant. And I like that you're thinking about creating safe spaces, because that is very much needed. You know, it's something that I always push and I always preach. So it's very pleasing to hear. I just want to shout out the NTA right now, the National Transformation Initiative, because what I do with my young people, Carlos and George, and my platform being Got Talent being, but it grows so huge and so many young people. I try to research things that can really benefit them so that I can make sure that my young people are as great as possible, because I know, which you will know from being president, you're only as good as your team. You're only as good as your team. And my team used to be like just 60 people, but now one of my youngsters got 24,000 following them. One got 30,000 following them. And then Bim Got Talent got 9,000. So it's still my team now got to be everybody. So I like that you are thinking so broad based and trying to help improve the generalizer of young people in Barbados. And they must shout out the YMCA for that. They must shout out the NTA. And the NTIA and the Barbados Accreditation Council, they're having a virtual expo. I want everyone on radio to listen. They come across the information and they must share it. The NTA is joining the Barbados Accreditation Council for a virtual expo, adapting today for a better tomorrow. So when I read this, we can talk about this for sure, Ronnie. And I want to hear Ronnie on this for sure. Like, I like the team, adapting today for a better tomorrow. You'll hear future speakers, Education Minister, the Honorable Cynthia Bradshaw, the BAC Director, Mrs. Lisa Gale, and the NTA Director, Dr. Allison Leacock. And again, I like that team, adapting today for a better tomorrow, because I find it's something we skate over. I want everyone to visit the nta.org.bb, www.nta.org.bb, and you could join us. You could join us this Wednesday, November the 4th, to learn even more about the NTA Coursera courses. These courses, Carlos, are free. This is what I love, right? These courses with the NTA are free, bro. And you do not need internet or data. Like, you understand it, how great this is. That we're glad that someone like you speaking to me now, so we can link up, so we can have a discussion, you know. It's our show, so we can take the time and talk. These courses are free. You don't need internet, no, you don't need Wi-Fi. So I would encourage everyone to have a organization with youth to incorporate these courses as well. And have a course that I particularly love called Citizenship. And I used to tell myself, I don't know what Beijing is, but then when this course breaks it down, I love it. You know, the course will help equip every Barbadian with the knowledge and the skills and the values that we need to be good citizens, you know, to have good character, to be competent, to be smart Barbadians. The course is designed to help participants gain like self-knowledge and a better understanding of their place in society, which is something we can talk about too. Understanding their place in society, I think that's real. That's a key thing then. Through various learning tools, you know, like we could discover how to access skills and chart a path to their the desired goals. Because what I find the problems we having is, I find that the youngsters, Ronnie, sometimes I feel like, I don't feel like it's as hard and as bad as we think, Ronnie, and they want even on this, because they have struggled with this and that. We're glad people like you, Mr. Crack, listen to me and help me. Like, sometimes you honestly don't know how to start to get to that desired goal. It's something you'll be so lost and you feel like you're trying hard, right? You feel that like you are trying hard, Ronnie, and like, what the hell? Well, I'm trying, like, but you ain't nowhere near. But then, if you're lucky or blessed, whatever you want to call it, to come across a good man or a woman. I'm talking about school. I'm not talking about college. Nothing at all. A good man or a woman that could just speak to you on your level. While they're speaking to you on your level, they'll also help you, explain to you how to get to your goals. You understand me? Like,
oh, for sure. A sort of a mentoring, which was, when we had a different societal structure, I think it probably was easier, but you would have talked about some of the things. Carlos would have alluded to some of the distractions and interruptions that you have. So, and that's just for studying, but in life, let's say the fabric of society has been, you know, influenced by, you know, technology and foreign influences. So there's a moment where you have to kind of circle the loop and come back around. Mm-hmm. And try to instill back again that sort of civic mindedness.
Yes.
That, you know, whether yes, it's, you know, me. The old folks were talking about when, you know, when you had manners or P's and Q's.
Yes.
Now it's more a matter of just being more, we have to get back to a time of a bit more mindfulness, because as we've been influenced by I don't want to say foreign desires, but you know, you see somebody and that, you know, from over and away doing certain things and that you want to do that or you want them things, those things come at a price and they come with a value.
Yes.
And
yes.
Sometimes you got to know the difference between value and worth.
Yes.
You
and these know your two own self-worth. These two things here, right? These two things here. Then they got a question for Ronnie. These two things here, which look about the course from me looking it up, which I find is a problem with young people, which I think is attributing to so much violence. Build self-awareness and learn the necessary skills to communicate and work well with others. Not only that, listen to this, Ronnie, to understand the importance of respectful and positive interactions that improve relationships at home, at work, and in our communities. Now, my question to you, Mr. Ronnie Clark, you think like the how we used to be more of like the big brother approach, the big sister approach, where every old person or every older person was always auntie or uncle. One time that was the standard, and I'm not that old, you know what I mean? I'm not that old and I'm in my 40s yet. But one time calling auntie and uncle, everyone that older auntie, uncle, Ronnie, that was the standard, like, coming through the gap, we got Uncle George, Uncle Gustin, you know what I mean, Auntie Shirley. That was the standard at church. Even went into the church, to we call our Sunday school teachers auntie this or uncle that. Like you had to, and then it was a case where some of us, Ronnie, we used to curse, use bad words. But if we see certain people, you are speaking properly and you're talking about your family, you know. I'm talking about this person is just older than you. That is all. And the respect you had for that person, B, you are not going to say that where you don't even want to say idiot. Like, I remember that. You don't even want to say idiot. So, Ronnie, you think this, you think the big brother, big sister approach could still work? And if it could still work, why we ain't doing it more like before? Or before, was it organic and we just needed to develop naturally?
It's like George said, the societal structure has changed. And you'll often find a lot of social media quotes and posts which speak to you are parenting your children as if they are living in your era. You need to parent for the environment in which children are being raised today. Now, you have to be relevant, but there are still fundamentals and basics which carry over from generation to generation. And from a religious perspective and from a Christian perspective, there are concepts and lessons which are embraced from what you learn to guide your children through. For example, you know, train up a child in the way that he should go, and as they grow old, they will not depart from it. People will stray, and that's why you hear about the prodigal son. But they remember, as the prodigal son remembered what he was taught. When he had gone where he had gone and was where he was, and there were consequences for choices that he made, he remembered. You can only remember what you're taught. So if we don't teach, there'll be nothing to remember. And that, if I look at an artist, now, I had the privilege of having the great Karl Brudhagen as my art teacher for 2 years. He would have needed 300 years to get me to the level, or even half the level that he was at. But I look at that and say, you know, I spent 2 years with one of the greatest artists ever, not just Barbadian, Caribbean, but ever. Because we seem to have a problem in elevating the great practitioners in the respective fields that they excel in as beyond even Barbados when we speak about them. So I remember the things he said, what to look for, how to appreciate the work that people produced from a breadfruit tree in Bushall Yard Gap to a model that we all drew in the same room, but somehow mine looked totally different from the model. But we had other people like Sylvester and Samud, Andrea too. They were excellent. So we have to teach our children about recognizing your limited physical time here, the different circumstances that everybody faces at some point in their life, challenging, heartbreaking. At some point, heartbreak will come, death, loss, defeat, but maintaining values which, you know, there's a poem that says, treats all those imposters the same. I think it's the Desiderata. I could be wrong. So we must not be afraid of highlighting, speaking well, speaking appropriately, dressing appropriately where possible, or dressing the best that you can with what you have. These things are important. These things are worthy. These things are of value. There's a popular culture today that exploits the crass parts and the vulgar parts and the violent elements of the same life and environment that we experience. Not everybody who portrays that is that, but they get paid and appreciate being paid to portray that. whether they write it, record it, act it, dance it. And we must tell all people, but especially young people, because like I said, Paul to Timothy said, see to it that no one looks down on you because you are young, but set an example for believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, in purity. All young people must be taught to set an example. And we must let them know that everything they see, increasingly more now with social media platforms. 30 years ago was the start of the 90s. Let's go back 40 years ago. Radio was your social media. If you got a request on radio, you reached the top. You were able to stick out your chest and say, well, I sent a request for A, B, and C. Did you hear us? Now, everything is in one device and you can do everything that 15 devices did before. But there are dangers. And we must let them know that they must see those things which are often portrayed as part of the system. Getting a degree or doing courses, learning something of merit, achievement. There's an element that sees those things as being uncool and not necessarily the things you should be pursuing. You must have $400 trainers, $200 jeans, a t-shirt for $200, even beach jams for $200. That your watch must cost at least $1,000. That when you go out to drink, something which costs $150 in the supermarket costs $300 in the club. That's not a wise way to spend your money. It might be wiser if you pull together so you can get the equivalent of what the drink really costs. These are things we have to learn. And there are so many facets of life we have to learn. I'm just looking at the things that are cultural, but also manners are cultural. Respect is cultural. Just saying good evening to your elders is a facet of life that makes a difference. Where it is possible, whether you have a home with two adults or one adult, or the oldest child is the adult, eating together. If it's sardines and biscuits, if it's ramen, if it's turbo drink mix, if it's potatoes with corned beef, the practice of eating together. Hard to do with the things that people seem to consider important. But over time, as you become an adult, you will see the value and the beauty in those things. Reading a book. Not just seeing it on YouTube or Netflix or whatever channel you want. Reading it and internalizing it. So literature at school, it doesn't end there. What they teach you about themes, descriptive terms, mood, plot, progress, protagonist, antagonist. That's not Shakespeare in The Tempest alone. It's more to it than just leaving Caliban there. You could see it is relevant. The other day, I shared the Brook. I think it's Lord Tennyson. At one of our meetings. A few weeks before that, I did T.S. Eliot, The Wasteland. April is the cruelest month. But for me right now, November is the cruelest month. Because we've lost Dennis and we've lost Warren. So you can apply these things in life. And we must show that. Irrespective of whether you come from Barbados, Germany, Nigeria, China, Brazil, humanity is common. The politics may be different. The religion may be different. But for the most part, you have red blood, you have a heart, lungs, bodies in various stages of challenge. But basically, we are the same. And we will not last forever in this form. So always encouraging people to do the best. And accept that you will make mistakes and choices. These are things we have to teach our children. And there are children that are not in a position to get it directly from somebody, but they access avenues where they can hear and they can see. So, in short, that's my answer.
And listen, and... what I love about we were explaining, but when you said that, you know, humanity is commonly, politics may be different, religion may be different, but humanity is common. That is so true. And like you said, and then like when you spoke earlier about doing courses, training, or reading a book, not just seeing it on YouTube. I love when you made those points also, and that's where you got to show to the NTA again. And for doing these things, and like I said, the courses are free, and you don't need data or internet to do them. Again, the courses are free, and you got courses on creativity, courses in with the hospitality, courses on finance. You have a course for everything. And I like this citizenship course. I'm going to say that again, because I like things like discovering how to access skills and chart a path to your desired goals. That is imperative towards the development of a nation. I believe that. Understand the importance of integrity and striving for excellence as key elements to accomplish their goals. That is important also, because integrity is key. I like building and build self-awareness and to learn necessary skills to communicate and work well with others. I like that out also. Woo! My brain working today, boy. And it must have to shout out. And I got to shout out Miss Lee. I got a big one up, George and Carlos. Yeah. I got a big up to one of them. Listen, they're going to hear this. And I got a shout out Miss Dr. Allison Lee got locked on, and she said she loved when you include the impaired. It was the hearing impaired that
the Deaf Heart Project.
Right, like you included with the YMCA. So Carlos and George, she said she really loved that. So if you can touch on that again quickly, because me too, I love that as well, and I love the inclusiveness. And that is what I picked up from reading the NTA website, www.nta.org.bb. That is what I picked up, the inclusiveness. And I think that is what we needed. That is what we need as we transition into Republic as well. And that is another subject as well. But I think that's what we needed. And I love that the National Transformation Initiative, it feels inclusive. So I want both of you all quickly. I want both of you all touch on that. I can start with George and then Carlos. I want both of you all touch on the need for the inclusiveness and the inclusion of the impaired. George, you could take it up first, and then Carlos first. And good evening to Dr. Allison Leacock, locked on. And I got a question after George finished, and a second question for you, Carlos. How can we find the YMCA easily and access what they're doing? So George first, and then Carlos. Once again, thanks for coming on to Beige Radio, my Ryan brothers. I really, really appreciate. I really appreciate you all, and it's been an evening of so much knowledge. And I'm going to tell you before you answer. This is not the last time. You know me, I talk to my guests. I have it out. I have a conversation, because anytime I can get free knowledge, Carlos and George, I just take it. I just want them, man. I just want to kind of rasta, man, that every time I get free knowledge, I just take all. So I'm going to call right. You. I'm going to call on you brothers a lot. So George first on the inclusion with the impaired, and then Carlos on the inclusion with the impaired and how we can find YMCA. Thanks again.
Yeah, most certainly. So real quickly, as to dovetail on what Ronnie was saying, it's a values discussion for me and my organization, LifeWorth, where it's all about inclusiveness. One of the things we didn't even bring up really, or we didn't mention it, is the importance of the environment. Being civic minded also means being mindful of how we treat not only each other, but how we occupy the space as the 21 by 14, that's Barbados. So obviously we ain't got that much room to run about in, like, you know, big countries as, you know, millions of square miles. So it's more imperative for us to really learn to get along and work together. And that's always going to come down to a values discussion. And you can't talk values if you're going to talk about discriminatory behavior. So that's, you know, I was raised as an inclusive person because of my background means that, as I mentioned earlier, English is actually my second language. So I have a mixed background, but as my dad from Barbados and my mom from Italy, that allowed young George, when I came here, that didn't speak a word of English, to really absorb and take in all. And the way my parents raised me is that all are the same as Ronnie would have said. You know, we all maybe in different conditions physically, but we all bleed red, you know? So the inclusiveness is a strong part of my being, and And we learn, we, but it's a learned behavior too, right? The same way that we have picked up in a world of today that seems so divided between who does wear brand name or who does live in this village versus that side of town. You know, who's a town man, and who's a country man, who went to this school and that school. The idea is that once we have our value system, we will see in place, we will see more of our commonalities than our differences. And when you work with that, you ain't got to worry about nothing. I mean, we all know the stories of people that come up that didn't have a lot of education, but them raised doctors and lawyers and raised 8, 9, 10, 12 children and did all things because they had the values. So it's not about, you know, what I mentioned earlier about, you know, just about picking up degrees and certifications, but the work that you do, the reading the books and throwing yourself into the certifications and accreditations and stuff, you will also learn to temper your spirit, temper your mind, and learn how to have the focus that is necessary. As we get more and more people to adopt that behavior, and it's an internal thing to be more mindful, whether it's creating a piece of music or creating a piece of art, and working with others and working with all that are around us. So collaborating with the Deaf Heart Project, that to me, that was like a done deal. Like, what was it? You know, there was no way that they weren't going to come and join. Once they rocked up, I'm the kind of person that, you know, I put paintbrushes in people's hands and said, let's get working. So the inclusiveness is definitely something that we really enjoyed. Big up to the Deaf Heart ladies. And we want to see more and more members of all the different groups that represent Barbados across its full spectrum to continue to come out, to continue to work, to come together, help the young people. Also, because there are a lot of young people that come with various situations and concerns or dealing with parents. For example, we had situations where the parent was a member of the Deaf Heart Project, but yet the child was not a hearing impaired person. So it just goes to show that when we can teach that to each other, we can not just call each other aunt and uncle, yeah, uncle, but then we still go down the road cussing and getting on. We gotta be really like understand mindfulness and value. Yeah,
so George, and working together. Some questions before you go.
Okay.
Where exactly can we find the mural? That's one. Can George
YMCA Painful Street, Roebuck Street.
Okay, YMCA Painful Street, Roebuck Street, where we can find the mural. YMCA Painful Street, Roebuck Street. He already described the mural already, so we have to go through that. How many has George done in Barbados? How many murals have you done in Barbados?
Probably about 5 or 6. 5.
Oh, nice. And the part about what else does YMCA have planned? Karen is going to come and answer that after for sure. Can we find the photos and videos of this mural on Instagram? That was another question that came in.
Yes, you can find it. We actually have I know all the young people are hip into the Instagram, but we also have a Facebook page for the YMCA wall. There's the YMCA site, which Carlos can talk to. There's also there's going to be then also on my Instagram, George Gill 1297.
George Gill 1297. George Gill 1297. That is great. You can find it there. Thanks a lot for answering those questions.
You can
see
all the videos of all the progress work, and you can kind of catch into the vibe of what we did there. And invite all your listeners to catch a vibe, and because there will be more murals. Carlos doesn't quite know this, but oops, I might have just said something. But yeah, yes, there's gonna be some more murals at the YMCA.
Well, that's good. And again, I have a message. Thanks again for everyone locked on. Thanks for Dr. Leacock.
Thank you so much,
Dr. Leacock. Inclusion for equality of the people with disabilities are a priority for the National Transformation Initiative. Kudos to Carlos and George. Listen, man, big up. In Bajan dialect, big up one. I love the questions. And again, people, they want you to go on and check www.nti.org.bb. Again, www.nti.org.bb. And all of what we spoke about and the different things that are in the citizenship course, you'll find it there, and many other courses. I'm going to ask Karis now, what else does the YMCA have planned? And I'm going to let Karis know, of course, you know, you have to come back next week for part two. Karis, I'm going to kidnap you and George for sure. I can bring it. I have two youngsters that do the courses, DJ Kitty and Danny Cole. And I know today would be too full for them, but two of them did courses and they can come on next week and speak with us. And we can have a conversation with them next week. But Carlos, I want to know, what else does the YMCA have planned quickly? And why are you bringing these initiatives that you have planned with the YMCA? Again, thank you very much for coming, buddy.
No problem. So in terms of the YMCA, we are on Instagram, YMCA Barbados, and Facebook under YMCA Barbados as well. So you can check us out there. Our number is 537-0118. 537-0118 is the number, office number, open Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And in terms of what else we have going on, we also have some courses on offer as well. Our Ayani White program has been existing training program Sweet. For a number of years.
That means we could collaborate.
Yeah, this year is actually the first time that we're actually doing a blended course. So we have some online and some face-to-face. Nice. So we're very, very excited about that, being able to, you know, adapt to the circumstances that, you know, COVID and the world has thrown at us. So definitely have some courses. Now, what we have coming. So our next course semester is starting in January, and we're going to be introducing some additional courses as well. One of the additional courses that, you know, has us a little bit excited is a DJ course, because we know we want to reach out to the youngsters, right? And we know that would definitely attract some youngsters in terms of maybe learning how to become a DJ. But currently the types of courses we have is tiling.
I love that.
You know, we have eyelash, I'm not sure if it's called eyelash technology, but eyelash technology, natural hair care. You know, we do have some courses for small business owners as well. So we have a range of courses. As I said, you can check us out Sweet. On YMCA Barbados at Instagram and Facebook.com.
Love it.
I also just wanted to kind of touch base in terms of why we are doing what we're doing. So, I mean, yes. I think Ronnie kind of tied it up in a nice, neat bow. And he actually used two words that jumped out at me, because they hear the youngsters using the words, because it comes back to what they're hearing in cultures that are similar to ours. These words, manners and respect.
Yes.
I hear the youngsters knocking one another and manners and respect and saying manners and respect. And I like to challenge them. Do you know what that actually means? Or are you just, you know, saying it because you heard some, you know, some
stuff? I don't know what it means, because I brought that on radio. Like people used to say, like LRG used to say, and they brought that on radio, brought that on 95 and 92.9. Yeah. And right now on 92.9 is the only one I still say. But like you said,
what does it mean?
I love that you asked them that question, Carlos.
What does it mean? So manners and respect. Manners and respect. A simple thing means manners and respect is putting back things the way that you see them and you find them.
Yes.
But you know, you say that manners and respect just because it sounds good and it sounds cool.
A tagline.
But you know, do you actually know what it means? And then once again, are we as the adults, as the learned ones in the room, in the space, are we challenging them to be better? Are we just hearing it, seeing what they're doing, and saying, man, them is just youngsters, they can do what them is do? Or are we actually stepping forward and saying, no, you're wrong, or come, let me show you a different way? I mean, one of the things, and I know we're running out of time here now, but one of the pet peeves that I have is, you know, a lot of people like to tell you where to come from, right? And this Barbadian society has changed where it's not just a localized village anymore, but it's just all over the world, right? Oof. So a lot of people could tell you where they come from, and they come from this place, and they come from that place, and the next and third. But if you tell me that where you come from, that indicates to me that you have some love for it. If you have some love for it, it should indicate that you look back.
Yeah.
Right. And you reach back. Not just look back and reach back.
Reach back.
So I'm going to encourage everyone that's listening now. You know, if you're coming from a particular area and you know that that area needs some help, you know, be the one to look back and reach back. You know, that's as simple in my mind, that's as simple as it is required. You know, everybody does their piece. And, you know, we can piece by piece, we can encourage and inspire these youngsters to want to be better, right? We might not be able to just tell them what to do, but we need to be able to inspire them to be better people, right? We need to show ourselves as an example. You know, Ronnie went to the Bible, the rod and the staff as an example. You know, we never see a shepherd beating the sheep with a stick, but they have a rod and a staff. It's for guidance and it's for direction. You know, they know where to look to see that staff, and the rod helps to guide them in a particular direction. So, you know, from us at the YMCA, obviously our values are steeped in, you know, in our Christianity and our faith. And the idea really here is to step out from behind that and come forward and present ourselves as viable leaders and presenting viable alternatives, you know, for the youngsters once again to feel safe and feel comfortable as they grow, accepting that they will make mistakes, using the example again, the prodigal son, they will make mistakes and will make some decisions that we may not agree with. But, you know, how can we, in our own experience, in our own understanding, help them to understand, okay, here's a mistake and here's how we're going to help you to get better.
Oh, yes. I love it. I love it. I love it, people. Carlos Moore, YMCA president, and we're going to have him back again for sure for part two. And I love that we spoke about the DJ, you know. You know, I love that you're doing all that for the young people. And of course, I would make sure you feature them. And once it's positive, that is, because there have to be something positive, you know. And my DJ showcases, you can't have no violent songs, no songs too suggestive, you know what I mean? And that shouldn't be hard because
it's YMCA, so there has to be a particular standard of you know, we deal with standards, right?
Yeah, you have to be. But I love that because I take my platform that is so huge and make sure you feature all those children doing politics things. So I love that you're doing that, so we can speak about that next week for sure. I want to encourage people to the NTA is joining the Barbados Accreditation Council for a virtual expo, adapting today for a better tomorrow. I must shout out the NTA on that, and must shout out the YMCA on that as well. The feature speakers, the Education Minister, the Honorable Santia Bradshaw, BAC Director, Mrs. Lisa Gill, and NTA Director, Dr. Alison Leacock. You can find the link to register at nti.org.bb. nti.org.bb. You can then join them Wednesday, November 4th, to learn even more about NTA Coursera courses. Visit the best booth, the Barbados Employment and Sustainable Transformation Program. I love that. Training booth, and discover how to start your e-learning journey. Big ups to the NTA Barbados. You can check out at NTA Star Bajan on all social media platforms. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, NTA Star Bajan. Check them out. Again, visit www.nta.org.bb and see all the goodness they have to offer. I love them. Again, I have some giveaways. People, you can just WhatsApp me. 236-3534. I'm not asking any questions. I have cupcake specials, they have AirPods, and they have lunch for two. So just WhatsApp me, 236-3534, and I'm giving them all away. Carlos, thanks again for coming. Thanks for agreeing to come back again. George, it was a delight hearing you, my brother. I really appreciate the two of you. I want to say a job well done, young man, job well done. Continue the great work, and next week we're going to have another conversation. Mr. Ronnie Clark, I appreciate you, my brother, and thanks for the extra time. Starcom Network.
Hey, Kevin, you and your guests, fantastic today. I have to mention this because it shows you the challenge that we have. There's a highly publicized story trending on social media now. And there's a picture of a youngster in a yellow shirt, blue jeans, with a blue hat. And he stole the Salvation Army's cash on High Street this afternoon. He waited till the person had just taken a short break. And it's on social media. It's on the various sites that you'll find these stories breaking. So it's 2021. I'm not saying that young people haven't made bad decisions before, but you would hardly have heard 40 years ago or 30 years ago of a youngster stealing the Salvation Army's takings at this time of the year, especially when the Salvation Army helps the most vulnerable people every day, all day, ever since William Booth founded it, I think in the 19th century. So keep your eyes out and your ears open for that. If you know the youngster, call the numbers to bring that youngster to the attention of the necessary authorities. And I'm sure the very work that we spoke about today will help avoid these scenarios in a high percentage of cases. So here we are talking about positive young people, and this youngster needs to change direction. That's all it is. And clearly there are some issues there. We can't have people stealing, period. And we certainly shouldn't have people stealing the takings of the Salvation Army. So if you go online, the various news sites, you can see that picture there. So I want to say to George, to Carlos, and to Sluggy, wonderful program today. Really appreciate everything happening with Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme. This is how we're going out tonight.
Thank you for having us on the show.